So this morning, we're on our We Are the People of God, affectionately known as WATPOG, meditating on what our mission is as River Church. What has God called us to be as River? Who are we as the people of God? And you'll be coming familiar with our River Vision graphic up there, and we're going to be exploring all the different rings of that in the coming weeks through to Christmas. You'll find it in the inside of the little People of God reading booklet, so you can get one of those on the way out from the desk if you would like to. Andy last week started us off with the why right at the centre. Why is River Church here? We are here to bring the life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we are. River people bring the life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we are. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be unpacking that and saying, how do we do that as River Church? How do we do it? And we do it by looking on the face of Christ, by loving everyone we meet, and by living like heaven is near. And just all of us, in whatever circumstance we're in, that's what we're doing. So in the circumstance I find myself, what am I doing? I am looking on the face of Christ. I am loving my sister, my family, like I've never known how to. And I am living like heaven is near, to see the kingdom of God come. And we just take that and apply it in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, day by day, week by week, month by month. And this week, we're starting with the pink one, because I'm a girl. No, we're starting with the pink one. We're starting with look on the face of Christ. And this, guys, this is the fundamental one, isn't it? It's the place where it all begins. It's the key. It's the foundation. It's the thing that's the source of everything else. And I would just submit to you that we can't love everyone we meet or live like heaven is near unless and until we look on the face of Christ. And we've just got a little strap line that River people recognize that Jesus Christ is the source of life and that following him leads to a full and overflowing life. Do you know, guys, that we live in an incredible age? That God isn't out there, that God is in here. That is extraordinary. God is in here. He has chosen to live in you by his Holy Spirit and allowed us to know him personally, intimately, daily, freely, moment by moment, thanks to the precious death and resurrection of Jesus. And as a result of that, the river of his life, the overflowing life of the Spirit that we were talking about last week, flows out from within us. And that is not only possible, but it is the destiny of every single one of us. It's what God wants for every single one of us. And looking on the face of Christ is the place we remain. We start, we remain, and we stay as that life flows. So what we're going to look at this morning is going to look at, well, what does it mean? I can trip off my tongue. We're going to look on the face of Christ. There could be some of you thinking, well, what the heck does that mean? So we're going to, what does it mean? Why would we do it? And how do we do it? What, why, and how? There's a lot of these what, whys, and hows coming along. So let's look at what does it mean. If you go back into the Bible, there is no Hebrew word, the language the Bible was written in, for the word presence. There's no Hebrew word for it. The word that they use is face. Because if you look up the Hebrew word where you see face, it means presence. So when we talk about the face of God, the writers of the Bible were talking about the presence of God. Think about that blessing that Aaron is commanded to pray over the people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. It's about the presence of God. And the shining face of God is also all about favor. The favor of God. Now, if you think about it from our perspective, face, I looked up face in the dictionary, it was so helpful, the front part of your head. I was thinking there's going to be something really profound in that, the front part of your head, how you know who somebody is. What's true, isn't it? That's what a face is. But it does speak of nearness, because you do have to be close to somebody to be able to see their face clearly. So, I can look on the face of Desi, see Desi, I can see Desi pretty clearly. Maxine's right at the back there. I can't, well, you know, I can see you, Maxine, I know you, Maxine, but I can't see the detail. So this looking on the face is about nearness. It's about relationship. And it's how you develop relationship with somebody, isn't it? If I talk to you from behind this piece of paper, you can hear what I'm saying. But you lose so much, don't you? Because you can't see somebody's face as they're talking. Why do we love Skype and Zoom and FaceTime? Because we love to connect, to see people's faces. Thank you, my lovely. Thank you so much. I'm allowed water in here, sorry. Thank you, Vanessa. That is really sweet of you. Because we love to see people's faces, don't we? We have sayings, the eyes are the windows of the soul. We see expression on people's faces. So this idea of closeness, of nearness, of relationship, of understanding is all bound up in that. Look on the face of Christ's word. That phrase, sorry. Now, if you've been reading along with us in your little thingamy-jingamy, we were reading about Moses at the start of this week and about how Moses went in, and when you can read it in Exodus, the accounts, he went into the tent of meeting where the presence of God was. And scripture tells us he was the only man at that time who God knew face to face. The closeness of that presence, he would come out and his face would be shining. The glory of God, the presence, the beauty of God would be being reflected off his face. And he used a veil to hide his face so he didn't freak people out. That was the glory of God out here reflecting on him. Then we move to Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh, God incarnate. And I love the scriptures from John, where John writes, we saw him, this is Jesus, we saw him with our very own eyes. Can you imagine? We gazed upon him, we heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him, actually touched Jesus, God himself, the one who was from the beginning, the living expression of God. This life giver was made visible and we have seen him. We testify to this truth. The eternal life giver lived face to face with the Father and has now dawned on us. So we move from Moses, who God was there and he kind of reflected and was in there, to Jesus being among us and being able to see this living embodiment through to the glory that we have, where I started this morning. Do we know what is in us? This is what scripture tells us. For God, who said, let brilliant light shine out of darkness, is the one who has cascaded his light into us. The brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. You and I have all that glory indwelling in us by the Holy Spirit. And now we're not like Moses, we have to gaze on it to reflect it. It comes out of us as we live in the presence of God, face to face with God, as we look on the face of Christ. That is our destiny. These aren't poetic words. This is the glorious life that God has called every one of us to. And he wants us to display his glory freely, to release his glory over others, not hide it like Moses did behind a veil. Isn't it tempting to hide it behind a veil? He wants us to rip that veil off and to bring the life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we are. And just finally on what is look on the face of Christ, it's look on the face of Christ. Now I looked that up in the dictionary and that was more helpful. To direct your gaze in a specified direction, to focus, to stare, to scrutinize, to contemplate, to consider. It's an intentional thing that we do. We intentionally take time to look on the face of Christ. It's not a glancing away. It's a let's look on the face of Christ. Let's get to know our God. Oh, I'm getting into the next bit. Why would we do it? So that's what it means to look on the face of Christ, for me anyway. But why would we do it? What's the point? You can come to church on Sunday, so why bother with the rest of it? Because you need to know God. We need to know our God, and he wants to know us. Bill Johnson has a lovely quote. He says, "We aren't called to ministry or to accomplish some great feat in his name. We are called to God himself." It's as simple as that. We are called to God himself. We are created to find complete fulfillment in him alone. It echoes back to the garden story back in Genesis, where Adam and Eve were there with God and they were together, and God walked with them in the cool of the garden. They spent time together. They were in relationship together. They enjoyed one another's company. Do you know, I honestly believe our heart's desire is only truly satisfied in him. The only place we are going to find true rest and soul peace is in him. And believe me, at the moment in my life, I am seeing the truth of that. It's the only place we find true soul peace and rest. It's the only place that we can come to with all that we are and be. Just be. Valuable, worthy, people of infinite value to him. We be. It's the only place where we can come, where we're accepted, loved unconditionally. Our souls need that to be whole. We need that to be whole. The world makes us struggle and strive and put defenses and build things that give us significance. We just find that in our God, where we find wholeness. I read something from a writer who said, "Our first work in life is to be with him." It's our first job. It's our first work in life is to be with him. Not to get something from him, but just to be with him. And the glory of God, as we've said, is seen in the face of Christ. So if we want to know God in all his glory, we need to look at Jesus. There's a verse in Hebrews that tells us the Son, that's Jesus, is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. So let's take time in the Gospels, reading about Jesus, praying, spending time with him, looking on his face to get to know this amazing, generous, gracious, glorious, loving, good God who is there for every one of us. And just like Gail was sharing, looking on him puts everything else into perspective. So why do we do it? To know our God. I've got three. Number two, to be transformed into who we're created to be. I've talked a number of times about this fabulous book, God Has a Name, by John Mark Comer. Another plug for it. Read it, people. Read it. And he says this. He says, we become like what we worship and who God is in our lives has profound implications for who we are. So if we're going to be transformed to be who truly who we are, we need to be looking on the face of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 tells us this. We read this week. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. We can all draw close to him. Not some of us, not the ones who've been around for a long time, not the ones who are leaders, not the ones who seem holier, not the ones who are really busy for God. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. We don't have to hide. And with no veil, we become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured, transformed into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. You're not rubbish. You're already a bright level of glory. And he's moving you from one level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit within us, transforming us, glory to glory, as we look on the face of Christ. But if we never take time to do that, that transformation is out of our grasp. And he longs to make us whole. He longs to pour his love into us. So, that's reason number two. Reason number three. To escape something called idolatry. Now, that sounds a bit weird. Let me explain. Another quote from John Mark Comer. If anything becomes more fundamental than God to your happiness, your meaning in life, and your identity, then it's an idol. Just read that again. If anything becomes more fundamental than God to your happiness, to your meaning in life, to your identity, then it's an idol. And the human heart is indeed a factory that mass produces idols. We're good at it, aren't we? We're good at getting security and safety from anything other than the one place that's available for us. And he makes the point that actually worse than that, behind a lot of those things, there's a real spiritual being that's not God. And actually what we're doing is we end up worshipping spiritual beings, the demonic that is not God, and they take the place of God in our hearts. So if money is the thing that is more fundamental to you than God, more fundamental to your happiness than God, then it's an idol. And behind that idol of money is a spirit which draws you in, sucks you in, and takes your focus away from the one who's the source of life. Does that make sense? There's a beautiful prayer, Jewish prayer, and it's from the Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's our call, that's our joy, that's our delight. God has made everything good, beautiful, and true. He is the one who deserves our worship. So we need to take time to look on his face in our lives for our own sakes as well as his. So lastly, how do we do it? Well, Psalm 27 says this, Lord, when you said to me, seek my face, my inner being responded, I'm seeking your face with all my heart. Do you remember I said our first work in life is to be with him? Not to get something, but to be with him. Praying with him, abiding in him, being with him. And you know what? That is just about us developing our own rhythms. Not living off other people's spirituality, but having our own. It's not about a cultural connection with church, but a deep personal connection with Jesus. It's not being dependent on this on a Sunday morning as the only source of your spiritual connection. But it's about developing your own rhythms of connecting with God. I grew up with the phrase waiting on the Lord as something in church we talked about a lot. And waiting on the Lord has always had weird connotations to me. I kind of always think of being in a dentist surgery or a doctor's surgery, waiting. You know, you're kind of waiting, aren't you? I'm waiting on the Lord, like I'm waiting for something to happen. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Weird. In the Passion Translation, that word is translated very differently. It's translated to be entwined. So actually, there's a rope. When we're waiting on God, we're being entwined with him. So that our very beings are entwined with our God. David talks about that in one of the Psalms. He says, here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Never lose hope. And that thing of being entwined, there's a lot of strands there in that rope. It's a process, isn't it, of being entwined in, of being bound in with our God, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, through our lives, being entwined in with him. But rhythms are helpful. We're humans. We do quite well with rhythms, don't we? We've got rhythms all around us in seasons, in work, in family. And sometimes it's helpful for us to develop rhythms that grow our spirituality. A verse that I think of often that has really helped me. It's a really simple framework that I try and live by. Every evening, I explain my need to him. Every morning, I will move my soul towards him. I love that phrase. Every morning, I will move my soul towards him. Every waking hour, I will worship only him. There's kind of three time frames there, aren't there? There's every evening. And so when I go to bed, I try to just focus back on him. I talked a couple of weeks ago about confession and from Psalm 60 to 51. And that's when I kind of run through my day and, how did it go? What did I do? Is there anything I need to say sorry for? And I just bring things before the Lord. Just lying in bed before I go to sleep. Sometimes get to the end, sometimes don't. Never mind, God doesn't mind. Every morning, I'll move my soul towards him. Do you know that's intentional looking on the face of Christ? So that may involve your prayer. That may involve reading scripture. That may involve worship, listening to worship songs. I love to do that. It can look different every day. Silence, stillness, being with him. Every waking hour, I will worship only him. For me, that's that thing of us being with him and aware of him during the day. Trying to snatch moments when I just go, yeah, God, it's you. And off I go again. And that's about bringing the life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we go, isn't it? Every waking hour, I will worship him. It's a really simple framework, but for me, it kind of works. But you'll develop your own. You'll find what works for you. But the point is, you're not putting rules in. You're not putting something in that squashes you. You are just being intentional about looking on the face of Christ because it is our source. So that's really all I had to say on the subject. I'm sure there's loads more, but that was me. We've looked at what it means. We've looked at why we would choose to do it. And how we might do that. And really, it's a personal journey, and it's for us to go on with our God. And Scott is going to come and lead us in some worship for us to just respond however you want to your God this morning. He is here for you. And the hunger in our hearts to know God himself is often what gives us more and more access to the depths of his presence. And hungering for him and longing for him is a good part of that. That was the verse that I read earlier. Oh no, that's not it. Lord, when you said to me, seek my face, my inner being responded, I'm seeking your face with all my heart. Lord, I'm hungry for you. I want to know you. And you know, the good thing is, he is just there wanting you to know him. So why don't we just sit quietly for a moment? You may want to close your eyes. I wonder how hungry you feel for him this morning. If you don't, that's not a problem. You just say to him, Lord, actually, I'd really like more hunger. And he'll give that to you. And maybe some of you here this morning, and you know as I've spoken that God's calling you into some new rhythms, calling you. The world conspires against us to keep us from looking on the face of God because it's our life source. Everything conspires to stop you doing it. But he's calling us. So will we make some decisions to look on the face of Christ? And there may be some here who know there are some idols in your lives. Things that you know you've allowed just to take the place of God being the most fundamental in your life. We all do it. Maybe this morning's the time to turn away from a few of those, to smash a few of those idols. Lord, will you draw us close? Lord, we are your people, we are your children. And we choose to look on your face, to come into your presence. There's no barrier to you doing that, no barrier at all. And in the prayer meeting, we were praying, and I was thinking of, you know, when you see maybe in films or in families where there's a couple and you turn somebody's face towards you to look at you. They're looking away and you bring them close to look at you. This morning, the Lord wants to do that for you. Where you might be looking away, he just wants to gently turn your face and say, look at me, gaze at me. So Lord, we come as your people. Will you draw us deeper? Will you draw us closer? As we look on your face today in this worship, in the days and weeks that come. In Jesus' name.